Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
I went to a creative writing program in the UK, and that was the first kind of experience I had winning also, which I was like, it feels really good to win. It feels really, really good to win. I really liked winning. I really liked
winning. Winning is cool.
Winning is great.
Welcome to Game Recognizes Game, brought to you by Outpost Health. So your parents or maybe even a mentor, they say to you, hey, just follow your gut. But what does that mean, right? I mean, we have all these ideas and thoughts in our head and who knows what the right decision is. But there are some folks out there, when they follow their gut, man, it's crystal clear. Some say they're born that way. And that's exactly what our next guest has done. Sunny Jenkins, who has followed her gut her entire life, today considered one of the top communications and branding executives in the country. And her firm, the Right Now and the Now Studio, man, they're doing some cool things for companies all over the world, helping them connect with their customers and the zeitgeist around their customers. Yeah, that's a cool word. She's followed a gut, championing causes that she's believed in, and she takes us on a beautiful ride of a job well done. Game recognizes Sunny Jenkins.
Sunny, welcome.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
The story that floats out there about mom getting a call from the kindergarten teacher or maybe the preschool teacher about how you were on the first day of school?
Yeah. First day of school, the headmaster was shaking hands with all the students as they entered the school on the first day. And
this is preschool?
Kindergarten.
Oh, God.
And I don't know what possessed me to do this, but I stood right next to him and I just shook hands with every student that was entering
the
school.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah. And that was my first day of kindergarten.
So you made yourself the head of the welcoming committee?
I guess so. Yeah, thought it was my job.
Well, that probably was the seed. We talk a lot about the seeds of greatness on the show. That's got to be one of the first seeds that mom noticed.
Yeah.
So now, obviously, as a kid, you know, you did your own thing already, it sounded like.
Yep.
You did sports, lots of different sports, exposed to lots.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how playing childhood sports influenced your career.
I had a need for speed, that's for sure. I liked playing. I was sort of like always outside, always looking to kind of like take risks and jump off high things and run fast or anything on wheels I was into. I skated as a kid. And the only thing I really loved about skating was skating fast. And I rode horses. I was just unafraid as a kid. Steeplechase was my event. So speed, horses, jumping, risk, you know, it all came together.
It sounds horses. Like the beginning of a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Now, I heard that once you got introduced or exposed to speed skating, that became a thing.
So my sister skated, so that's why I was skating. And so we would all go to the rink. That's why I started skating. I mean, it wasn't because I was like, oh, let me be an ice skater. Just that wasn't how it went. But I got in trouble at the rink a lot because all I wanted to do during open skate was skate the perimeter of the rink.
As fast as possible.
As fast as possible. Using my edges.
And that's against the rules.
And that is against the rules of the open skate. So I learned later that there is an event for that, and it's called speed skating. But no one kind of got the memo that that's probably what I should have been doing the entire time, because it's actually an event.
It is one of the best events in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, it's an awesome event, and I should have been doing it. So I think I missed my calling as an athlete, honestly.
So let's fast forward a little bit, because your rise in the marketing and communications industry is meteoric. But before that, you had these seeds. You wanted to take risks, because I'm sure so many of your clients, you have to convince them to take risks. Mm-hmm. But as you develop that concept, if you develop the trying to inspire others to take some risks, tell us about, you know, college and those formative years, high school, college. You went to a Catholic high school and you went to St. Lawrence University.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about those formative years.
I mean, ultimately, I was probably pretty lucky to get into St. Lawrence. I wasn't a very good student.
Why is that?
It's very busy.
Shaking hands. You were very busy shaking hands.
I was doing other things.
Social director.
Yes. I wasn't a very disciplined kid. I don't think I, retrospectively, of course, it's always hindsight being 2020. I think Catholic curriculum is very regimented. And I think I was always a creative. I don't think that I fit into the regimented curriculum of a Catholic school education.
Did you know you were creative even then?
No.
You know it now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not know I was a creative. And in fact, I don't think I would have called myself a creative until well into my career, actually. I thought my clients were the creatives, and I talked about them being creative, and then I realized that all the ideas you have to put behind a creative are creative ideas. So
yeah,
I eventually got there. But curriculums are really stringent, and I just don't think I responded well. And it wasn't until I went to a creative program when I was in high school for a summer, and it was my first creative program, and I won an award. And I was like, wow.
This is high school?
This is high school. Yeah, I went to a creative writing program in the UK, and that was the first kind of experience I had winning also, which I was like, it feels really good to win. It feels really, really good to win. I really liked winning.
Winning is cool.
Winning is great.
Yes.
Like getting called up on stage, the whole thing, getting the award, having my professor talk about me, doing that whole thing. It felt really good.
My fellow coaches and I, we try to train parents now to kind of teach kids.
Winning is cool.
Winning is cool.
Yeah. It was really nice. And so that was sort of the first time I was like, oh, okay. Like, it was a bug.
You got the taste.
Yeah. It did kind of juice me up a little bit. And
yeah.
So I got back to school. I got back to my senior year. And, you know, I had to get into college. And I was sort of white-knuckling that situation. I was lucky. I got into St. Lawrence. But when I got there, I don't know what changed. Just sort of the lights went on.
That is a great feeling.
Yeah. Just all of a sudden, I was like firing on all cylinders. And I graduated with a double major and a minor, magna cum laude, and an honors in both my degrees. And
making your parents proud.
All of a sudden, they were like, wow.
Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic. I love the concept of when the lights go on, and we hope for, you know, our kids, and we hope for, most parents do, and when your kid has passion for anything, that's that light bulb. Go
yep.
Do it. Go follow it. We'll help you nurture it. If that's not it, then find something else. But as long as the lights go on and passion for something,
yeah,
it goes a long, long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So what did you study at St. Lawrence?
Sociology and government, and I minored in Spanish.
No creative there.
Well, sociology is interesting because it's, you know, it's...
study of human behavior.
Human behavior in society. So it kind of really teaches you a lot. And in both of my majors, you had to do a lot of reading and writing. And ultimately, in communications, you have to be a really good writer.
You graduated, accolades, magna cum laude, right? Mm. Well, at that point, it's time to get a job.
It was time to get a job. I did fuck off for like 6-7 months. I traveled.
Oh, the famous gap year.
I just wanted to travel a little bit. And then I had to get a real job.
A wonderful gift if a young person can do that after college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very cool. It was scary a little bit. I think the scariest thing for me was not going home. it was truly not going home. I mean,
what are you afraid of?
My girlfriends and I went to Greece And it was right after the Athens Olympics, and there was unprecedented windstorms in the Cycladic Ocean. Mm-hmm. So we got stuck on, I mean, this is ridiculous. We got stuck on Mykonos for 30 days, and there was not an airplane or boat that could leave the island of Mykonos. So if you were there, you were there. You were not leaving. No one could go. But
that sounds like a really great problem to have.
It was a really fun time. But I did, my friends were leaving after we finally were able to leave Mykonos. So I was by myself for some of it. And that was really scary.
Well, at some point you had to come back to reality.
Yep.
Right? And what was your first job? What did you want to do? What did you know?
I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to live on my own in Manhattan. So I wanted to get a job as soon as I could. That was sort of my, that was the force that drove me more than anything.
New York City was home. New York City was comfort.
Yep. I wanted
what you knew.
And I wanted, you know, I wanted to be like Carrie Bradshaw. I wanted to, you know, Sex and the City it up. I was so ready for that part of my life. So silly. But I took a job at Oliver Wyman, Mercer Oliver Wyman, which is Mercer Management Consulting business.
Big business.
I worked in the office of the president as a very low level, like personal project person for the president. So it was like a little bit of data analysis, but also like a lot of calendaring and, you know, assistant. I was an assistant. It wasn't very glamorous at all. And I knew.
Did you know what they did before you got the job?
No. I had no idea what management consulting really was. And I knew, like, the third day, it was a really quiet office. Like,
I've been to those offices. It is, the silence is deafening.
It's awful.
At Oliver Wyman. It really is.
Yeah. You've been to actually Oliver Wyman.
I have been to Oliver Wyman.
That is so weird.
And Guy Carpenter and.
Oh, I know Guy Carpenter.
And Marcia McLennan.
Yeah.
And I was visiting a friend and colleague, and I said, how do you work in this kind of silence?
It's very bizarre.
Yeah, it was very bizarre to me, yes.
So.
As we digress.
Yeah. Very loud, talkative me. You know, I've been getting thrown out of classrooms since I was 5 years old. Like, this is like not.
The visual of that is very funny because I know how quiet those offices are.
Yeah.
And someone's like, they put like duct tape on your mouth. You cannot talk anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Until and 5 o'clock.
Yeah. And I was like, this is not the right place for me. I mean, everyone talks about how I have a loud laugh. And so everybody in the office could hear when I would laugh. And I'm like, this is not my future. So. I remember I was on the subway on my way to work. I lived on the Upper East Side, and I was on my way. It was 40th and Park, and I had, do you remember AM New York?
Oh, sure. The free newspaper coming out of the
free
subway.
Free newspaper.
Yeah.
And I was looking at New York Fashion Week coverage. And I was like, well, that looks like something I should be doing. Because it was like very like pulse of the city. Like it was like what was happening. And I was I just thought to myself, like,
it's very Sex and the City, right?
Yeah, and I don't think that was sort of why. I don't think it was because it was Sex and the City, but I think I always wanted to be in the mix, you know.
Yeah.
The
pulse of New York, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My stepdad has always said to me when I was a kid that not only was I the eye of the storm, but I was the cause of the storm. And so that was sort of what attracted me to, I wanted to work in fashion. All of a sudden, that, it was just like clear. It was just like clear as day. So I started to look into it. I wanted to work in media. And then I started interviewing at basically any media outlet that touched fashion. And I started interviewing at Condé Nast. And I probably went for over 45 interviews. Just kept going. And I was working at...
And that was a great experience just by itself, right?
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, it was great, actually. And I would, you know, I mean, how many doctor, dentist... You know, how many x-rays I needed, extractions, abscess, like, you know, just any excuse to get out of the office in order to be able to continue to interview for these jobs.
Suddenly another doctor's appointment?
Yeah. It's like, ow, my wrist hurts. I don't know how I pulled this off. But finally, this HR woman that I got to know said, look, there's so many interns here at Condé Nast. It's going to be really hard for you to get a job. But there's this great agency called HL Group. And it's one of the agencies that all the fashion editors work with all the time. So why don't you, I'll make a call, go there and see if there's something there. So I did. And the irony, of course, was that I interviewed for a year, 45 times at least at Condé Nast. And I went to HL Group the next day. I met with somebody for maybe 20 minutes and I had a job. And I started like the next Monday.
45 interviews. And you finally landed that first gig.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel?
It was great. I was thrilled. I mean,
despite being probably underpaid a little bit.
Yeah, it was tough. But I was finally doing it. I mean, it took almost a full year to get the job.
But you did it.
Yeah.
Right. You walked in. You weren't an intern, right? You had some experience under your belt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Mercer was actually great because I learned how to have a job there, and then I walked in much more prepared in a very formal environment, and so I had that kind of leg up.
Well, HL Group was just trailblazing for you. You know, it was mm-hmm. groundbreaking. It was it launched your meteoric rise in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me why that is. What did HL Group teach you and the ride they put you on?
Like anything else, it was a number of factors. I think it was a really new company. It had only been around for 3 years or something by the time I started. And the founders were very well established in their careers, very well known in the industry. The H in HL had been at Vanity Fair and the CMO of Ralph Lauren. The L had come from Calvin Klein and they'd met at Ralph Lauren and they knew everybody. They were movers and shakers and they were great partnership, very different as people. Everyone at HL, especially at the beginning, kind of sat with one partner, and I sat with Hamilton, who was very tough, but he was very smart.
He was the H?
He was the H. He was very tough, but he was very smart. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot very, very quickly.
You think he knew he was tough on you?
Yes.
Purposeful?
I think he knew I could take it. Not everybody is suited for it. You know, it's not, I think a lot of people enter this career, especially in the sector that we were in, which is, a lot of people look at it as it is a glamorous job, air quotes.
Right.
It's not very glamorous. You have to do, it's a lot of work. And
people don't see the 80-hour weeks, 90-hour weeks.
No. And he is brilliant. I mean, he's a brilliant strategist, and he taught me a lot.
Do you think he realized that, let me slow her down a little bit and teach her that it's a marathon, not a sprint?
No. I think the mentality was always, it's a marathon and a sprint.
Mm, I like that.
It's, you know, one of the...
Slow down when you have to. And go as fast as you can when you have to.
Yeah. I think the nature of agency business is you could be here one day and gone the next. It's a very challenging and competitive environment. And, you know, you can have a wildly successful roster and then someone else comes up and half your clients can be gone. I mean, it's just, you can't really... You cannot be asleep at the wheel at any point, so.
Not to mention the relationships you develop with clients and then suddenly they're gone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean.
And the new ones come in and.
Yeah.
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 Was there any client in your time at HL where you just knew, man, I'm on the right path?
Oh, yeah. I really liked the work. I really loved the work. It just juiced me up. So I raised my hand a lot. I mean, I did very psychotic things that I look back on now that I'm like, what?
There might be a trend in this conversation.
Yes. I did. I mean, some of them are fashion type things that are seem very stupid to do, but there was like a big moment for the Cannes Film Festival. And Elle
Fanning. It does seem very glamorous, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, this is not glamorous because there was a dress that needed to get to Elle Fanning. And we missed what we call WorldNet, which is you can get something to Europe overnight, not by a FedEx, because that won't happen, on a plane. This is old school days. I don't even think that WorldNet exists anymore. But anyway, we missed the window for WorldNet. So I took the dress in a bag and got on a plane to Milan, dropped the dress off at HQ to be altered. I won't say the designer's name because this is so inhumane. And then had a cappuccino downstairs and went back to the airport and flew back to New York the same day.
From Milan?
From Milan back to New York. In coach. Just like so awful.
Well, at that age, that's all you're flying.
Yeah, and I was like, that was so awesome. I thought it was kind of great, you know?
Yeah. This is my life. That's what you thought.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of... And I
do it all over again.
I didn't mind.
I liked, as you were telling the story, the smile, because you were recalling those days.
Yeah.
And the smile that came over you, like, you knew it was just, this is where I need to be. You found your people, you found your industry.
Yeah, and I made all my, to this day, some of my best friends are all from that exact period of time when we all worked together at HL Group.
And you all knew each other when?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that same crew, you know, growing up in sports medicine, it's 80, 90, 100-hour weeks, and they were all a blur.
Yeah.
And I'm sure yours too, right?
Yeah, it's like the camaraderie of soldiers. You don't...
Band of brothers, 100%.
Yeah.
Pain doesn't have to control your life. With Apos, you get the freedom to move without the constant ache. Step into your freedom. Apos, precisely what you need.
You know, you crushed it at HL, and then you left.
Mm-hmm.
You went to La La Land, L.A.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went to L.A. with HL.
Okay.
It's actually a little bit of a tangent, but I dated the same person my entire 20s.
Note to self.
Yeah, I don't know why. Anyway.
Stay single a little longer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Anyway. He and I broke up, and actually one of the partners at HL took me out to lunch and taught me a great lesson, which is if you make it look better, it will feel better. Because he told me I walked into the office wearing Converse, and he thought, my God, I thought you lost your will to live. Which is what happens when you...
Joan Rivers fashion police.
Hilarious.
Had you lost your will to live?
A little bit.
Who were sneaking? No, I'm kidding.
The partners came to me and they said, we want...
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You there. So we'd open the LA office, and they said, just go find you there. And I went out for a few weeks and...
Well, they sent you to go find you.
Yeah, find another person...
Like you.
Like you, there.
Not go find yourself.
Yeah. And so they sent me for a few weeks, like 6 weeks or something. And I lived in this little hotel in Beverly Hills. And I hadn't really spent any time in L.A. before. And I interviewed a bunch of people and I was spending time in our L.A. office. And I came back and I was like, it's me. And they were like, no, it's not you.
They didn't want to let you go.
No, they didn't. And then finally they said, okay, you can go. You can do it. But 2 years and then you're coming back. I said, okay.
So you made a presentation why you should be you out there.
It was not even that formal. I was like, no, it's me. and then they just, you know, we got there. And then I lived there for 12 years, so I didn't come back in 2 years. I broke my promise.
Well, L.A. and New York are two different animals.
Mm-hmm. It's literally an apple and an orange, which is what I tell people all the time.
So tell me about L.A. and how it either changed you or influenced you compared to being a native New Yorker. There are a few native New Yorkers, like, in the city, and you're one of them.
I love L.A. I think L.A., well, professionally speaking, I hadn't really worked with talent before. I'd worked with talent in the celebrity, like, dressing, like, jewelry and dresses and things like that. I didn't have any experience working with talent, like, doing deals, which has become a huge part of my business, as you know.
Yeah.
I didn't really know how to do it. I had a feeling about how to do it. And then actually through Hamilton, there was a moment with a jewelry brand that we
I love that his name is Hamilton.
Yeah.
that's very cool. I learned from Hamilton.
I did my first deal and he taught me.
Another seed of greatness.
Yeah. I was really just along for the ride, you know, which was always kind of the way that it was. But, you know, he would kind of, as he always did, he would sort of lay groundwork for something and then just pass it off, like, yeah, essentially just figure it out. And I could call him with questions. And if he thought that they were stupid, he would tell me that they thought that they were stupid questions. If he thought that they were good questions, I would also know because he would answer them. But he helped guide me through my first deal. And that's kind of how I learned the talent game. And so it was big because I learned how to broker things and how to leverage. And then the media world and the talent world came together for me. And that became a very, I don't want to say powerful thing, but it's kind of alchemy. It becomes like the chemistry started to really boil over a little bit. Like, that's how you can kind of, you can combine those two worlds,
yeah,
really, really well.
The light bulb again.
Yeah, yeah. Again. Like, yeah. And I had gut around that. Like, I was like, I didn't know how it would connect, because we're talking years, you know, I was there for over a decade, but didn't know how media and the talent deal stuff would start to work together, because I was still like doing celebrity dressing and a lot of that much more often than I was making a deal. But I could tell that they would come together at some point.
And the talent thing, just to kind of clarify that a little bit, the talent game, we're talking about pairing celebrities, high-profile individuals with brands, yes?
Mm-hmm. And athletes, a lot of athletes. Yeah. I did work with Quiksilver and Roxy and all of them, and they have teams. So they have... Yeah.
Surfer group.
Surf, yeah, and snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so snow.
They're icons in their world. They're icons.
It's highly endemic. If you're in that space, they are Michael Jordan.
Yeah, golf is another one like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting you mentioned following your gut, because in some ways, without realizing you were following your gut, that trip, that one day trip to Milan, right, was you knew, yeah, I'm doing the right thing.
Oh, and all of it, yeah. I mean, even...
Here, years later, you realize, yeah, it's boiling over. This,
yeah.
My gut is telling me I'm doing the right thing.
I mean, even, you know, day three at Mercer Oliver Wyman, when I'm like, it's too quiet for me to work here. That's gut. I mean, it was just...
It is...
It's too quiet for me to work here. That's gut. I mean, I knew enough to know that I didn't know.
Note to Oliver Wyman, let's just pump some music through the hallways.
I knew enough to know. I didn't really understand what the job was, but I knew it was not the job for me. It's all gut. You know, it's just all gut.
and it's fared you well, is really, I mean, your gut?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Give me an example. I mean, obviously you were there. Was there a gut instinct to go on your own way? And
oh, yeah. I mean, I think for many years for me, because, you know, I had my own teams. I did leave HL when I still lived in LA. As I said, I worked for Quiksilver and did a big project. I was actually a consultant at Quiksilver. This is when Nike had acquired them. It was a fascinating project. I called it the bros versus the pros because it was like Nike coming in trying to make Quiksilver like a much more formal business. And it was like people that had worked there for so long. And
there's a reality show called Bros versus Pros.
it was a great project.
So you mentioned about Quiksilver. Mm-hmm. It was a consulting project. Mm-hmm. And it was at the same time, most people don't realize that Nike acquired Quiksilver.
Then they had. And they were trying to globalize both Roxy and Quiksilver. So they had three global HQs, which we had to...
Three global headquarters for the...
For, like, let's take Roxy as an example. Right. So it was Southern California, Biarritz, France, and the Gold Coast of Australia. And so they had different product lines.
Rollerblading, snowboarding.
All of it. It was all three different product lines, three different marketing campaigns, three different... So they were Nike was globalizing all of it.
And that's inefficient, to say the least.
Yes, especially when you're in action sports and you're, like, dropping a pro surfer in the middle of the ocean to, like, surf a break. I mean, they're not inexpensive shoots.
Yeah.
So that was sort of the consulting piece, but then I also did all the press work for the team and sold bikinis. So, you know.
Back to fashion.
Back to fashion. but it was awesome. It was a really, really cool project. And I got to go on surf tour and, I mean, what a strange life. I spent a month in the summer in Biarritz.
That's a fun
waiting
tour.
For waves, because the thing about surfing is that you can't surf without waves. And that summer there was
no waves
and it was their surf event. It was the Roxy event and there were no waves, so we just had to wait.
Another great experience in your life.
Yeah.
We're gonna do a segment that I call Moving the Chains. It's sponsored by Noble, one of our podcast sponsors, an amazing company whose dedicated mission is to help you achieve your physical goals, your mental goals, and emotional goals. I'm wearing them right now. Noble, I love these most comfortable sneakers, and you'll get a pair. Most comfortable sneakers you'll ever have. But the Moving the Chains moniker really comes from football and getting that first down. And that first down is a small win for a team. You have enough small wins, you're having a great day. But it's also a moniker for life in terms of being a non-negotiable, a small thing, a small win that you do every day to move your day forward. Do you have any non-negotiables?
Yes. So every morning I wake up, I hydrate, water first, coffee, and then I make a to-do list. I have to do that. And then I clean up my desk, my home office. And I actually just listened to another podcast.
There's no other podcast, but Game Recognizes Game.
There is not. But it was. I did learn that making a to-do list and cleaning up your desk it's a scientifically proven cognitive thing.
It's like you're making your bed.
Yes, yeah. It is something that actually makes you more efficient and productive. Who knew? But I've been doing it for like 20 years.
And it's a sense of routine and ritual also.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when I went to an office every day, which I, you know, now I'm hybrid, but when I went to an office every day, it was organizing my bag.
I know you love to work out. After that early ritual, I'm going to get you the pair of Nobles, and you're going to love the workout for sure.
I've actually been wearing Nobles for a long time.
Oh, early adopter. That's mm-hmm. what we like to hear. Hello, everyone. Exclusively for Game Recognizes Game listeners, our sponsor, I'm so proud to be in partnership with, Noble, giving our listeners a 30% discount code for all their products that'll help you achieve all your goals. Please go to nobleproject.com/game to receive your 30% discount. That's
www.nobulproject.com/GAME.
Okay, let's get back now to your meteoric rise in this incredible cutthroat industry called marketing, branding, communications, and you decide to go on your own. Talk to me about that, because I know the fear that can come over someone wanting to go out on their own.
People had asked me for a long time why I had not gone on my own for a long time. Why not? And again, kind of back to gut, I just didn't feel like timing was right for me. I liked a lot of the opportunities that I had had after my experience with Quiksilver and, well, Roxy. I was on the Roxy brand specifically. I went back to HL Group to run their West Coast operation. So I returned.
Second tour of duty at HL Group.
And I was very different. I'd been gone for about 5 years. They were very different. They had a parent company that was way more present by the time I returned. So things were, the management of the agency was very different. And I was...
Where was Hamilton?
He was still there, but he was sort of on his way.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, they had been acquired, essentially. Yeah. So it was very different. It was no longer mom and pop. I mean, it was... When I started it, there was 12 people. When I left in round one, in my first tour, there was 125. I mean, it just...
Wow.
It was a big...
That's
big,
a special journey indeed.
Yeah.
It really is, to see that kind of growth.
Yeah.
And doing something you love. That's
it was
just
amazing.
Incredible. And to see it and observe it is a special thing as well.
And to feel like you were such a huge part of it was it's like one of the best times of my life.
Talk about the molding of greatness, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Where does the Right Now, as co-founder of the Right Now, an incredible firm that you've developed, and I've been to events where people are talking about your firm. And time had run its course at HL Group? You had this idea, another light bulb maybe?
The original founders of HL Group had both sort of, they were moving on. I mean, things, it was just a very different place, and then I had decided to move on. I went to an LA agency called BWR, which is a very well-known entertainment agency. This is pre-COVID. And I became their chief growth officer. And I was 7 months pregnant when I started. On day one, which was like, kind of crazy. Again, a little psycho. And
day one was what, 7 months pregnant?
I was 7 months pregnant on day one. And
that's cuckoo time.
Yeah. I left to have my daughter and then returned after Thanksgiving. So it was December of 2019. And I came back and I was really, you know, I really hadn't been there. I was only there for like 2 months and then came back. And it was right before COVID. And then it basically, the parent company shut it down pretty quickly after COVID hit. And they asked me to come onto the parent company. And I, so again, sort of like a gut moment where I was like, I'll come on board to the parent company to be their head of entertainment. But I knew there was no way that an agency that big, I mean, there was something like 7,000 employees worldwide. The job that what I do is so nuanced, and you have to know who you're dealing with, and you can't just...
Relationships are tantamount.
Relationships are tantamount. You can't put ideas in a deck and expect people to kind of get it. So I, you know, played the game while I, you know, worked on starting the Right Now while everyone was locked in their houses, and I had a newborn.
So the brainchild of Right Now was during COVID and the pandemic. And raising a newborn.
Yeah. And it was also the year of an election, and I was working on doing a lot of that kind of voter engagement work. And so it was nuts. But I don't know. I think I do really well under that kind of pressure. I think I actually do the best under that kind of pressure. I was blessed with a baby that slept, though. So
sure.
That's not normal.
And you got some work done.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the voter engagement work. I know you're so proud of that.
Yeah, I'm on the founding board of I'm a Voter, which is, it's nonpartisan. We are just there to make voting cool. Yeah. You know, you see things in your obviously a big sports guy?
All the sporting big leagues, you know, NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, all got behind that.
Yeah, we were the official voting organization of all the major leagues. But what I was going to say was, is to make, like last night's Knicks game, if you were to go through your social feed, everybody was posting about that game, right?
Yeah.
So the idea of I Am a Voter is to make sure that on an election day, everybody is posting about voting so that you, Marty Jaramillo, if you didn't vote, you'd feel like you were missing something. I mean, that's the basic concept of I'm a
voter.
It's
almost a little bit about FOMO, right? Fear of missing out.
Exactly.
Right?
It's to just change, sort of change the attitude of about what it is to participate in our democracy. And our democracy is designed for everybody to participate in it. Otherwise, it doesn't really
regardless
work.
Regardless of whatever side of the aisle you sit on.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that, because I know you guys made a real dent with that.
It was great.
So first client at the right now came when? During the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was Kendra Scott, which is a previous client of HL Group. And
relationships again.
Ugg.
Paying you back.
Yeah. And I called.
You say Uggs?
And Ugg, yeah.
Yeah.
And I called.
Not a small brand.
My former boss at HL Group. And I said, I'm going to do this. And they're two former clients of yours. And she could not have been more supportive and lovely.
Sunny, fast forward now. The right now is well on its way, a successful company, but you're still also such a dedicated mother. You know, how do you balance that out between running a successful PR firm and getting excited and all these creative outlets you have with and on behalf of your clients, but you still got to be present for that little girl of yours?
She's the love of my life. I don't know. It's chaos. It's super messy. And I'm a total perfectionist, so that's not my favorite thing. But it's a joy, honestly, to figure that out.
So it's not a chore?
No. Far from it.
And the balancing act comes easy to you? Or is it more like controlled chaos?
Controlled chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it like a room with all the plates spinning and you keep...
Yeah. And I drop a couple. Some of them break.
I think most of them were still spinning, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get 2 minutes on the clock. Sunny, is one of my favorite segments. It's called a 2 minute drill. So some rapid fire questions. You know, short answers, one word answers is fine.
Okay.
All right. Your workout today, what was the first song in your playlist?
Fool in the Rain by Led Zeppelin.
Respect.
It's a great song.
Atta girl. Favorite song of all time?
All Night Long by Lionel Richie.
That's your favorite song of all time?
All time. Oh.
Is that Mama Say, Mama Sa, Mama Akusa? Is that song?
Yeah. And also Never Too Much by Luther Vandross.
I can't believe I actually remembered Mama Say, Mama Sa, Mama Makusa.
And Juicy by Biggie.
Now I respect. I was a little thrown off by Lionel Richie. All respect to Lionel. We love him.
How could you not like All Night Long?
This wouldn't be my favorite song of all time.
I mean, I think you should listen to it today.
Okay. We'll make a note. Note to self, my to-do list.
Yeah.
Got it. Favorite movie?
Almost Famous.
Who's the star of that?
Well, Kate Hudson.
Ah. Hello.
All roads lead back to Goldie Hawn. Yeah.
Favorite actress of all
Goldie
time.
Hawn.
Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn.
Second favorite actress, maybe her daughter?
Goldie Hawn. Third favorite actress, Kate Hudson.
That's great.
But only because she's Goldie Hawn's daughter.
What's your daughter's name?
Goldie. Gwendolyn.
There is a theme here.
Gwendolyn.
There is a theme here. Your success is not shocking. It's... I'm probably going to agree with Mom. You were destined to do great things, born to do great things. And you're probably at a point in your career where people are talking about you. The industry's talking about you. They know how influential you are. But there's a point now where you get to reflect a little bit, and we're going to give you a chance to reflect a little bit here. We have a little segment here we'd like to call Thoughts from 30,000 Feet. If you had the chance to speak to 18-year-old Sunny Jenkins and had the privilege of sitting next to her and talking to her, What would you tell her?
Give yourself more grace. Not to worry so much. I'm a big worrier.
Was she a worrier at 18?
Yeah. Yeah, I did worry. But it's all going to be fine, and it's going to be great. And just enjoy it.
It did all work out, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you want Goldie to remember most about her mom?
Oh, God, you're going to make me cry.
The laugh?
Yeah. Yeah. That I was a lot of fun.
That's great.
Yeah. And that no one is going to love her like her mommy.
Forever.
Forever.
Even when she's older and right and gray, no one ever loved her like her mom. I love that. You got some new things on the plate now, right? You got this new thing called the Now Studios. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think this is an evolving industry. It always will be.
So Now Studios is an extension of the Right Now?
Yep. Yeah. So marketing communications, it's all based on how, just like consumers used to listen to the radio and then they watch TV. It's consumers used to watch TV and read magazines and newspapers, and now they, you know, watch things on their phone.
Content.
Yeah, they're scrolling.
Content is king.
Yeah, they're not watching cable. They're cutting cable, and it's a response to that. So we're creating, in short, it's a content creation studio that we just need to respond to the needs to our clients of how to do that and how to get brands and content in front of consumer eyeballs and engage people that way. So,
and understanding the term I've learned recently, the zeitgeist.
Yes, culture.
Of the consumer behavior.
Yeah.
And get that in front of that client's customers.
Yeah, leverage, you know. Yeah. Connect the dots, make it relevant.
Ever evolving.
Yeah.
The one and only Sunny Jenkins. Can't thank you enough for being here.
Thank you.
It's been a tremendous honor.
This is so fun.
Come back again.
I will.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.